actually wishing I could bring you all fresh strawberries from the valley last evening when I got in my car and left the lake to sort of sweeten this board work thing a little bit. But let me give it a go anyway. I'll just repeat what's in your bulletin because it's the first thing I was thinking about. How intense, serious work of any kind often always presents challenges which do reach down to the depths of your soul, to the personal level, as well as that professional level that Alan talked about, I certainly have been in. However, if it's not long enough, I don't think you get the next part. And that's the trust building, the teamwork, and this fierce collective UU commitment that I've experienced on this board makes it all well worth this leadership effort. And it's all about leadership for sure. I often felt here in our little church that, especially when I came, gee, how old am I? Back in the 70s. Yeah. When I first came here, our church was, I could say, very insular. I don't think we even thought very much about what went on anywhere else. We knew there was a place in, Mary Lou was smiling, there's a place in Fredericton, and there's a group in PBI, and a group in St. John, New Brunswick, but, you know, we really didn't pay as much attention to the national body. I'm happy to hear and to say that has changed. I haven't heard any kind of words connoting an insular feeling here any longer, and we try harder and harder to get lots of people to our national meetings. But let me just first set the stage with just a little background or refresher for those who've already combed the CUC website. There's just a ton of information there, and I continue to get questions all the time from here and elsewhere, really where the answers are clearly and a lot more than I could give you on that website. So I invite you to do that. The CUC board is a small board, as boards go. It's responsible for governing the whole organization that Alan alluded to, the Canadian Unitarian Council, in the best interests of the 50 congregations, its members. That isn't very many. It is an elected board, like the Canadian Senate, and not nearly as notorious. In fact, we learned at the AGM that we should work on that. Well, at least we were told that folks wanted more information about how the board works and what the board does. And yes, we can work on, we can easily do that. So it's an elected board in that the UU congregations, represented by their delegates, and ours were Devin Murphy and Andy Blair this year. Each year, these delegates vote on all the new board members and also the board priorities, for that matter. So the delegates in that AGM are very important. So even when we go, as many of you know, to an ACM conference every second year after next year, we will still be bound by our bylaws and our policies to have an annual general meeting. So there will be some kind of meeting for sure. So it is an elected board in that they are represented by those delegates, and there are only 8 elected members, 2 from each of the 4 regions. I don't know why BC gets their own region, but they do. Then there's Western, Central, and Eastern. And then our 2 non-voting members are the minister and youth observers. So, you know, really, it is quite a small board. And when some years ago, during our many travails, we did hire somebody, Ellie Mina, who was excellent, to come and take a look at our governance and see if we were in line with what we should be doing. And in many ways, he said, you don't need seconders for motions, and you don't really need to worry if you're good at building consensus and making your decisions by consensus. You know, for a small board, that can work. And certainly with our model of governance, that's been very helpful advice. The nominating committee, chaired by Bunty Albert from the PEI Fellowship for many years, just did an exemplary job this year, recruiting the required 1 member we needed for BC region and the 2 from the Western region. And they are hot. They are ready to go. We don't normally have an early June meeting after our May meeting, but they said they thought it would be a good idea and called in from London, England, and all sorts of places. They are very keen, and I'm very happy to see that they're joining this really committed crew. So they are all members, volunteer members, of our three task forces that were formed at the May board meetings. I did include those task forces in the July newsletter piece for those who want more information on them. There's an alignment committee that deals with board priorities, staff planning, and, of course, our policies. And then there's a badly needed task force on fundraising. For those of you, and there's Marilyn smiling, who know that our numbers are declining somewhat, not hugely like other denominations, but she's been on the task force previously for annual contributions to the CUC. So we need more fundraising and a good database for that. And then new members have great ideas for that. But it's the third one that I want to expound on just a little more, the youth task force. And the youth members on our board have been very impressive. This last board member really felt that youth had no opportunity to get together. They want it even though they're just 18, and our bylaws say something about that, and legislation and other things. But they want it to be able to speak and have their voice heard at the annual general meeting. So for the first time at this last AGM, we passed a motion very early in that meeting to allow youth to have a voice and to speak on issues. Of course, they're also looking for votes and other things too now, and that's all okay. But really, what they want to do is to be able to network across the country. They only get together once a year at Canoodle at the conference, and they really want to be able to do much more in their UUism and meet on different levels. So the task force will be focusing on options for networking for youth across the country. Doesn't that sound great? I mean, it does have a great ring. They feel isolated when they only meet this one time, so the board looks forward to the results of that task force, because there are two youth, the past board observer, because all these task forces can invite whomever they want to come on the task force. They often can last for a year or more, but they usually come with great results. So now for a look at the inside picture. It kind of speaks to the AGM, ACM message that folks want more reporting on from the board. I have to say that when I first joined the board 5 years ago, there were considerable challenges. And I had to ask, you know, where is the board work in all of this? But there were many resignations, 3-year terms not completed, considerable overtime spent on adopting this Carver governance model, which had already occurred by the time I got on the board. Then there were unanticipated difficulties with the previous executive director, leading to her contract termination. And then I chaired the search committee, extensive search, for the current executive director. And then there was that $500,000 debt incurred when that amount was approved at the 2010 AGM for growing our vital UU congregations. And there was a lot of goodness behind that, and the delegates all voted for it. But unfortunately, the amount expended on staff and other resources just didn't reap the results that were anticipated. So you get the picture that all was not rosy, and I certainly was very far from thinking that this work was a spiritual practice. It was, okay, you know, when are we going to get on to the real work? It did take a great deal of commitment and fortitude to get through those first 3 years. And I'm the only one left standing from that period, you know, because we are staggered. And because we had people who left before their terms were up, it did create a little bit of difficulty getting back on track. But it was just wonderful to work through those on reflection. I wouldn't want to do it again. But gradually we could see the problems resolved, strategies developed, and now we are very close to deficit free, have been for the last 2 or 3 years. So I think that in itself is a testament to the tenacity, I think, of the board. Now toward the current picture. Not have we only been able to retain board members, but all could see that there was a bond being created among us, partly because of the adversity. A bond that made for a very tenacious and wonderful group of UUs who were prepared to go deeper into the essence of what it means to care about this liberal faith enough to overcome all obstacles, even that huge deficit, that essence, I'm sure, that Helen was talking about earlier. It was a very rich, rich, enduring experience when we got together face to face, got so much accomplished, and such genuine caring as we interacted in a collaborative and respectful way. On reflection, that time was likely for me the beginning of the spiritual practice and the whole being more than the sum of its parts. And for me, I think then there was really no turning back. Because I could really see what could be done and what could be accomplished. The board, and I guess I should say, in that period of, I think, transfer from the badness to the goodness, I think that we started working more collaboratively with UMOC, the UU Ministers of Canada Association. And I look forward to continuing work with that group. We have an observer on the board, and the presidents usually keep in touch on a monthly basis as well. Board work has been described by Gary Groot, my colleague, and the previous president, as being like a three-legged stool, representing the three jobs of an effective board. The first leg is developing good policies, and over the years, a ton of work has been done on that, particularly this Carver governance model. So we are in the review and revise stages there. The other two legs, most simply put, are knowing where our congregations, our members, want our organization to go, and then monitoring to see if we are getting there. One of our most successful task groups was the Active Democracy Study Group. Formed in 2010, it consulted and surveyed widely among congregations and many other groups, including UMOC, to produce a report called Strengthening Our Democratic Voices. That was in May 2012, and then a final report with recommendations approved in May 2013. It was huge. It was a number of recommendations that spoke to many different areas, including accessibility to annual general meetings, increasing and improving our communication system, and on and on. That is also on the website, under governance, how we govern ourselves. It's a great report to take a look at if you're interested in that part of our principle of using a democratic process. We also meet with UMOC at every AACM that we have. Usually it's the Monday after the AACM, and we have a covenant with the executive. We have mutual, now we have the visioning, of course, and mutual ideas and plans. So if we are going to look beyond our organization, which we have been encouraging all congregations to do, and if we are looking toward visioning, necessarily we have to have the ministers, the RE directors, all of the various groups that are affiliates involved. And that would grow the movement, which is so much bigger than just the CUC. So in a relatively short time, so many of the earlier challenges were met. In addition, the board for the last 2 to 3 years has had time to get what we all knew was the real board work, beyond budgets, governance, those dreadful monthly electronic meetings which we have to endure but nobody prefers, we could now do the bigger picture work of the visioning that could be, that for what could be with this wonderful UU liberal faith tradition. As I sat on the wharf overlooking the amazing sunset at the lake earlier this week, I was in the water twice, I became fixated on this range of pink. It was evening, beautiful time of day, and I was the only one there at the time. I was fixated on that range of pink to red as it continued to intensify till the reflection on the water was all pink and red. Then came that serenity, that calm, aided by the sound of a light breeze with all that brilliance. And likely with today's service in mind, I thought, this board and this time is poised and ready to continue this visioning work we've started, and eager to continue to collaborate with UMOC and other groups toward a future that shares that brilliance, that wisdom that I chose from that responsive reading of our cherished UU movement. And that's not only how the light gets in, thank you, Leonard, but how the wisdom and the UU spirit, I think, gets in as well. And I'm going to end it there, because it's board work, and it's my spiritual practice.